We know that Passover is coming, the days of unleavened bread. Last time I spoke a little bit about the Old Testament. Today I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the New Testament. But just in a review, turn with me back to the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. I want to read about four verses and then we'll move on, but it isn't uncommon that sometimes we have people wondering when we're supposed to keep Passover, on the 14th or 15th. So let's see what the Bible has to say about it. Leviticus 23, beginning with verse 5, we read, "In the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unto Yahweh, 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." So we're given that quite clear. And having seen the new moon last night, we know we're preparing now to keep this Passover shortly before, even before the month is up. If you'll turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 9, one of the things we want to make sure we find out and learn is when these times are. And here in chapter 9 of Numbers, beginning there in verse 1, it says, "And Yahweh spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of this month at even," that really is between the evenings, Ben Ha Arbiim, after sunset and before total darkness, "and you shall keep it in his appointed season according to the rites," all the rites of it. Thank you. So we're to keep Passover on the 14th with all the rites that are attending to Passover, eating of it, killing the lamb, and so on. And then we read, "They shall keep it," and as we move on down to verse 4, we find that Moses told the children of Israel to keep the Passover. Verse 5, "And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even," that is between the evenings, "at in the wilderness of Sinai." And then those that had to keep it at a later date the next month, you find that in verse 10, that if someone is on a journey or by reason of an unclean thing, like a dead body, that they can keep the Passover the second month. And you find in verse 11, they do it on the 14th day of the second month, at even, between the evenings. Well, there are some other ones we could get into, 2 Chronicles and Ezra 6 and so on. But now I'd like to have you go over to the New Testament. And one of the reasons we like to start in the Old Testament is that when you learn a new truth, you want to get back to the place where it first appears. I've had people go to the New Testament and try to teach Passover, and they really get all balled up, because the people that translated the New Testament, many of them did not know Hebrew, and they hardly knew Greek. And so we have a problem there with the New Testament, because we find that not everyone understood what the Old Testament told us, that we were to have Passover separate from the days of unleavened bread. So let's turn to the 26th chapter of Matthew. And you'll find not only did they use a wrong word in the translation, but they oftentimes added words that should not have been added. So here in the 26th chapter of Matthew, let's put in there at verse 1. Then we read, "It came to pass, when Yahshua had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, You know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be impaled." Now, if you have a good study Bible or a good King James Bible, you'll notice that there are some words in italics. One of the words there is, it says, "You know that after 2 days is..." And the feast of is added. It should not be there. It should just simply read, "After 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be impaled." So we find that these days these things have been added because the translators didn't really understand or know what the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread was all about. And move on down to verse 17. Here we have the first day of the Passover coming up. But notice what that verse reads. Matthew 26:17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yahshua, saying, "Where will you that we should prepare for you to eat the Passover?" Now if you take it the way it's written, it says the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Well, the Feast of Unleavened Bread follows Passover. So how can you justify these things? If you tried to teach this from the New Testament, and this is the verse you picked out, you wouldn't go anywhere because it'd be all confusion. So we have here another problem. They added the words "feast of," which they shouldn't have done. They added the word "day," which they shouldn't have done. In fact, there's a word there that says "the first." And in the Greek, that word is protos. I have it over there in the bottom here. And I don't know if you can read it or not. Probably can't. But on the bottom, it talks about protos. Basically, the word protos is number 4413. And it's a superlative word. It means the highest you can go. The basic meaning of protos is foremost. And it's foremost in time, place, order, or importance. And it's translated by the translators from the Greek as before, beginning, best, chief, chiefest, first of all, or former. What this really should have read is now before or prior to the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Yahshua. And that really is talking here more about the time, the era. The word "day" is all right because sometimes the word "day" means more than a 24-hour day. It might mean the 12-hour day of daylight. On the other hand, we sometimes hear people talk about in Abraham's day, it was like this. Or we talk about the day of tribulation, which could be an extended period of time. So this is the sense and meaning of this, that the time of the unleavened bread was about to be started. And the first thing the disciples want to know is, where should we go and fix up the Passover? The Passover comes first, and then it's followed by the Days of Unleavened Bread. So then he tells them what to do. It goes into a certain place, and the master says that I will keep the Passover with you. I even have had people question the fact whether or not Yahshua kept the Passover the last few days he was on this earth. If he didn't keep the Passover, we don't have a Savior. He didn't complete all the law. He shirked what he should have been doing. But you find in each of the evangels that talks about Yahshua telling his disciples to prepare for the Passover. And so we find this is exactly what they did. Notice here, as we move on down, I want to make sure we understand this. In the latter part of 17, the question is raised, "Where will you that we prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master says, my time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Yahshua had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover." And then, of course, he goes on here and talks about, he sat down to the 12, and verily I say unto you, one of you shall betray me, and so on. And they wonder who it is. It's actually Judas. And scholars in most of the areas say that it is at this time, in like verse 25, where Judas left, that Judas did not partake of that Passover with the disciples. And I think there's another verse too over in Luke that says about the same thing. So let's go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22 gets into a little bit more of the Passover and the things that are going to take place. And we find that, again, Yahshua is there with his disciples and begin with, let's see, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Well, that's right. That's what it's called. And it isn't unusual that sometimes at the end of the of our year, our secular year, people talk about the holidays. They might call them Christmas holidays, and they mean the whole gamut of all the way from Santa Claus coming and all the way to the New Year. So here we find again in verse 1, it talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you notice here in verse 3, well, the chief priests, I should mention them, they are striving to get rid of the Messiah and kill him, but they feared the people. Then Satan entered into Judas, and surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad, and they covenanted with him for money. So he was going to do this. Now as you move on down, notice that in verse 7, then came the day of unleavened bread. Now again, that word again could be time. It wouldn't have to be day. But again, if they're using this in the sense of a long period of time, we could understand it, but it says that it's confusing if someone thinks a day of unleavened bread when we're not to eat unleavened bread, then it is a little confusing, because it says in the next phrase, when the Passover must be killed. But anyway, this is talking about the lamb, and then in verse 8, Yahshua sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover. So that pretty much proves that Yahshua had in mind he was going to keep the Passover. He was going to keep it with his disciples. And they want to know, well, where are we going to do this? And verse 10, he says, behold, when you are entered into the city, there will be a man carrying a pitcher of water. You meet him, and he'll tell you where to go. And verse 11, you say unto him, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? So in verse 13, they found as he had said, and they make ready the Passover. And notice in verse 15, again, Yahshua says, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. So he wanted to eat it. He was looking forward to it. He was planning to eat the Passover with his disciples. Yet I've had people say that he never partook of the Passover. I don't know how they can do that. Anyway, he ate the old Passover with the disciples, the one that was given to ancient Israel, and that's the one he kept. But then he went on in verse 17 and started a new one, showed them what they were to do to remember him and remember his death. Let's go over to the, I think I skipped Mark. Let's go back to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. There again, the translators have added words that should not be added. That should just simply read, after 2 days was the Passover, or the Passover would come in 2 days. And the chief priests and scribes saw how they might take him by craft and put him to death. And then it says, but not on the feast day. I think Dr. Bullinger's note here says, but not during the feast, because that he would start a riot if he did that, try to kill somebody in a special time of unleavened bread. And then, I don't want to get into that anymore. Let's move on down to chapter 14. And verse 13. Again, in verse 12, he's talking about the first day of unleavened bread. That first day could well be foremost before the day of unleavened bread. And the word hemara, that's a Greek word, hemara. And it actually can mean more than just simply a day. In fact, hemara is a feminine noun, and it literally means the space of time. And it can be mean a day. In fact, I believe it's the top one there. And it's been translated, hemara has been translated as age, or always, or day, period, forever, and judgment. So we find these words, you see, if they didn't know about Passover and the days of unleavened bread that follow, the translators were ignorant of keeping Yahweh's holy days, and they didn't understand. So they added what they thought would make it clearer, and actually it muddled the waters, made it worse, because they added words that shouldn't have been added, and they used the wrong translation of some of the words. Because verse 12, Mark 14:12 says, when the foremost day, or before the day of unleavened bread, or before the time of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover. So it's really talking about the times before eating unleavened bread, before the celebration came. The time when they killed the Passover, his disciples want to know, where are we going to do this? Where are we going to have the Passover? And that's the question they asked. And you find that he sent forth his two disciples, two of them, and he said, go into the city, and there you'll meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, and follow him, and so on. And so they find out where you're supposed to go, and that's the question, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room. And they prepared there, got ready, and made the Passover. One more thing I might just mention, the question has come up from time to time. When the disciples prepared the Passover, they had to have a lamb, right? Who killed the lamb? See, in the Old Testament, in the first chapter of Leviticus, it says whoever makes an offering has to kill that animal, whatever it is. Who killed it? We don't really know. Yahshua himself wouldn't do it because he represented the lamb. So apparently, he gave them instructions which we aren't given privy of. We don't know anything exactly what he told them. All we know here in verse 15, it says, they prepared the Passover and made ready for the other disciples. But each time somebody offered something, they had to do it. And usually the Levitical priest would be the one that would skin the lamb. They call it flaying in the Old Testament. They would skin the lamb. And with the Passover, they had to take the intestines out, the entrails, strip them all out, wash them, put them back in the cavity, and then go ahead and roast it. I think I mentioned to you before, I heard of one man that tried to do this with a lamb. He didn't clean it out, and the methane gas built up in it and actually exploded. Anyway, so I bet he won't do that again. Anyway, here in this chapter here in Mark, we do have an interesting comment as well in, verse 21. And he's talking here about we should really follow up with Judas. Let's go back to verse 16 and we'll get up to 21. His disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he comes with the 12, and as they did eat, sat and did eat, Joshua said, verily I say unto you, one of you which eats with me shall betray me. What I'm trying to point out here is every place that we can that Joshua did eat the Passover. And he only had about two more days of life left, and he was put to death before he started in this sect. After this is only a day. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, one by one, is it I? Is another said, is it I? And he said unto them, It is one that of the 12 that dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man goes indeed, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It were good for that man if he had never been born. And so then he gets into the New Testament Passover, which he then uses some of the same emblems and symbols for his own Passover so that we remember his death and so on. Okay, now I want to go to the book of John. The book of John is interesting. Let's go over to chapter 2 in the book of John. By the time you get to John, the Jewish influence becomes stronger and stronger. And you find here that so far we've not heard anything about the Feast of the Jews very much. But when we get to John, we do see it. So in John chapter 2, beginning there with verse 1, notice that it says the third day. Should be in verse 13. Verse 1 is where he has the marriage supper of the Lamb and he changes the water into wine. But verse 13, notice, I want you to notice that it says here in verse 13 that Yahshua came down to Capernaum and him and his mother and his brethren, and he was stayed there a little while. Then it says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. I thought it was interesting. You may not have a companion Bible, but Bullinger has a note in there that I thought was interesting. He says, the Jews' Passover. After the revival under Ezra and Nehemiah, corruption proceeded apace. And he says, see notes on page 1296. And Yahweh found the nation as described in Malachi. Hence, what were once the feasts of Yahweh had become or spoken of as they had become the feasts of the Jews. Now, I don't know exactly if he means that the Jews had changed them to the point where they were no longer recognized as Yahweh's feasts, but they do, it's pretty plain when you read the book of John, that the Jews kept Passover a day later than the time of the Messiah. Because in the book of John, he keeps the Passover on the 13th. 13th chapter. When you get to chapter 18, well, the Jews hadn't kept it yet. That pretty much is proof. Now, whether or not Dr. Bullinger meant this to point out this point, but it is interesting. Anyway, let's go over to the fifth chapter, of John. In chapter 5, we find again that in verse 1 it says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Yahshua went up to Jerusalem. Now there's at Jerusalem the sheep gate and so on and so forth. So Bullinger points out that there's a special feast that is called the Feast of the Jews, and you find that when he leaves it out, but Bullinger points that one out too. In chapter 6, and notice again in verse 4, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. People wonder, why does Bullinger keep pointing out these Feast of the Jews and Passover, that it actually is a time when they were keeping a different time than Yahshua did. As we move to chapter 7 and verse 2, again we read, and the Jews' Feast of the Tabernacles was at hand. Hence his brethren said unto him, depart and go to Judea, that your disciples may see the works that you do. For there's no man that does these works, and so on. And you find that even at this point, when Passover was coming up, verse 5 said, his own family didn't believe that he was the Messiah. And then he didn't do these things because he said, my time has not yet come. Well, let's move on to the 11th chapter. I want to point this one out too. Chapter 11. You find here in verse 55, it says the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. Now, And there were many out of the country up to the Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves and so on. And they looked for Yahshua and spoke among themselves and so on, wondering if he's going to come to the feast. Well, let's move on to chapter 13. When you come to chapter 13 in the book of John, I want you to notice a little sidelight. Verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Yahshua knew his hour was come, he doesn't call it the Jews' Passover. So this could be a different Passover, the right time at the right place. And notice Yahshua and his disciples kept it in an upper room. They didn't keep it at the temple. But notice he said that, it reads that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. And so we have the example there that this is what is going to happen. And we notice here in chapter 13 that foot washing is the only place it's mentioned. But if Yahweh says it once, that should be enough. You don't have to tell us over and over again. But I want you to go over to the 18th chapter now and take a look at what happens. In chapter 18, we'll move on down here to verse 20. Yahshua was speaking and he said, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, wherever the Jews went. And in secret have I said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. And when he had said this, one of the officers which was by struck Yahshua with the palm of his hand, saying, Are you talking to the high priest? So Yahshua answered, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. If I have spoken well, why do you hit me? Then we find out that he was bound over to Caiaphas, the high priest. And so Simon Peter is there, and he was warming himself. It was cold that night. And he says, Aren't you one of his disciples, Simon Peter? And he denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being a kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter denied him again, and immediately the cock crew. Then they led Yahshua from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. So in chapter 13, we read about the Savior and his disciples eating the Passover. We come to chapter 18. They don't want to be defiled, so they don't go into the judgment hall because they don't want to miss out on eating the Passover. So we find there that this must have been a Passover that came later, and that even today, the Jews seem to follow the old Pharisaical time of keeping the Passover. Even though, in fact, even some people that use a sacred name, I know one man, anyway, who knows that the Jews keep it at the wrong time, keep it a day late. And I've often wondered, you know, supposing somebody kept the Passover a day late back at the time of the destroying angel coming over on the afternoon, evenings on the 14th, came over before midnight on the 14th. And if they postponed their eating of the Passover till the 15th, they wouldn't be around anymore, would they? Because they missed out by a whole day. Anyway, we find that the Passover and the keeping of it is beginning sometime in January, sometimes earlier than that. We start to get bombarded with questions and talks and discussions about 14th or 15th Passover, wine or grape juice, on and on it goes. Satan works hard because if he can derail us at the beginning of the feast days and we're off then and stay off all the while, we'll never probably be on the right track. So when we understand that the Old Testament is where we should begin these things, because we know that the Apostle Paul told his cohorts that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. In 2 Timothy here. So we find that these things are something we want to make sure we follow and are aware of. And again, you're going to have a problem with the New Testament if you read all of these days that were added, not days but words with the that really don't belong there. Sometimes we try to follow these things and are not really sure which ones to leave out, but sometimes the words they add, the ones that are in italics, are a help. But basically, when you come to the Passover, I see nothing but problems there. There was one more I wanted to get into. I don't know if I touched on that one or not. Basically, the ones we touched on, though, were the word day and also, well, I know, turn back with me to the book of John again, if you will. In the book of John, the 13th chapter, in this one here, the word before, like I mentioned, is pro, P-R-O in the Greek. It's number 4413. And it means before and beginning, before the beginning of, and so on. And some have even questioned whether what follows this verse really is the Passover. Because that's verse 1. Verse 2 talks about supper being ended, and so on. And they contend that's not the Passover. But you keep reading that chapter, and it continues on. And in verse 26, he gives a sop to Judas. But there are some of these judgmental things that we have to study and learn and find out that actually the Old Testament is the one we have to go by, and it has to fit on top of the New. And we can't start in the New Testament and work backwards and try to back into the keeping of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. So until we celebrate the Passover, may Yahweh be with you.